sin.
Well, how do you beat that? I'd like to thank the three previous speakers for their vital input into this important issue. Further, I'd like to thank CEDA for organising this event. Thanks, Tom, and Health Super for their sponsorship. Ladies and gentlemen, our previous speakers have already given you a large supply of data to demonstrate what you already know. We have a rapidly ageing population. Aged care is an important and crucial component of the healthcare system. Every person in this room will at some stage be faced with the issue of aged care, whether it is for themselves or for a loved one. And at that time, you'll want the best and most appropriate care available. Before I discuss the industry in this state, I'd like to present you with a brief scenario. Lily is 79 and has been admitted to hospital after collapsing at home. She lives alone, she's frail, suffering from dementia, and her family and the community can no longer care for her in a safe environment. She's my mother, your mother, or an aunt. Lily presents at the emergency department and is reviewed by a gerontologist, but the gerontology ward is full. There's 12 patients waiting for transfer to aged care facilities. She's in the emergency department for 14 hours. She becomes confused and disorientated, and she develops the first signs of bed sores by lying on a stretcher. She is eventually transferred to a ward and is treated efficiently and effectively. However, Lily is classified as requiring high care by the hospital staff. Her family finds several aged care facilities that would best suit her needs and the family's. However, they have extensive waiting lists. After 12 weeks in hospital and being unable to find a residential place of choice, that is, a single room with an ensuite, she is finally offered a bed in a twin room. The facility is not located close to the family, and it does not offer the privacy or amenities that she would prefer and was willing to pay for. However, would it not have been better if Lily presented at the hospital, was reviewed by a gerontologist, transferred quickly to the gerontology ward where her acute care needs were addressed? Within a week, a suitably located high care facility with a private room with ensuite was found, and she was soon transferred to her new home that was purpose built to meet the needs of residents with dementia. If we really do want the best and most appropriate care for our loved ones and ultimately ourselves, why are we as taxpayers paying in excess, I said, of $900 a day, I'm being generous, to provide ongoing care in a hospital setting when it only costs a fraction of that, say 15%, in a residential care environment that is specifically designed for the care needs of the frail elderly? Aged care does have the capacity to be the solution to these situations that will occur more and more frequently as our population continues to age. The slides behind me give you insight into the standard of aged care facilities that have been built in WA over the past few years. In these new facilities, gone are the days of Florence Nightingale wards. Now most residents live in single rooms with ensuites and enjoy an outstanding level of care. This has been driven by the market and the extensive aged care certification requirements. What's more, they and their families now expect to have that level of accommodation, whether they can afford it or not. Yet the aged care industry continues to receive only $26.88 a day per resident to build these facilities. This equates to $109,000 per bed. This amount only goes part of the way towards the construction cost of around $170,000 a bed in WA, and this does not include the cost of land. This is one of the major reasons why aged care providers have stopped applying for licences to build new facilities in this state. Under the current funding levels, we can build double rooms with shared ensuites, but not single rooms. Our dilemma is that under the building code, we're required to build a ratio of 1.5 beds per room. This means that we need to build single rooms for every double room we build. This is not viable under the current funding structure. An aged care, or the aged care industry in WA, is heading to crisis, and I do say that in WA. The Minister for Ageing did speak about the billions of dollars being put into aged care. To put the billions of dollars into perspective, $6.7 billion will be paid to aged care residential providers in 08-09. This equates to $108 a day for care for each of the 170,000 residents we look after in aged care facilities across Australia. Those same residents pay $32 a day for their care, making a total care funding income of $140 per day. Compare this to what it costs to provide ongoing care to an elderly person in a hospital setting, as I said, in excess of $900 a day. This is an enormous disparity. The state cannot carry the population shift on its own, and some creative thinking is required. Workable solutions could include a state government investment in infrastructure. For example, the new Fiona Stanley Hospital is going to be a 1,000-bed hospital costing $1.8 million a bed to build. The 1,000 hospital beds are certainly needed. Don't get me wrong, they are needed. But if an aged care bed can be built for less than $200,000, wouldn't it be a good idea to invest in aged care facilities to continue to alleviate pressure on this resource? This is just one of the many ways aged care could be the answer to state hospital pressures. Every year the federal government allocates a specific number of aged care bed licences to match the determined need for ageing population. Aged care providers apply for those licences, which in the past years has been very competitive. But the number of applications nationally has been dropping. Last year, only 67% of the beds available in WA were allocated. This has never happened in Western Australia before. We in WA currently have significant numbers of beds offline that have been allocated in previous years but not yet built. And that's because the cost to build is prohibitive, and the daily funding of $140 to care for the elderly resident is not adequate. The next Commonwealth allocation of licences to WA is likely to be around 2,000 places, and we forecast that this will be grossly undersubscribed. We ask the question, who'll take up these licences? Who's going to build the facilities needed to alleviate the growing pressure on the state health system? I've spoken to many of our colleagues in WA, and to date, collectively, we can only account for a possible take-up of maybe 400 beds of the 2,000 available. This trend is going to have an enormous impact on the state hospital system. With an ageing population that is living longer, we'll have an increased demand for aged care services, and if the industry is not able to develop at the rate needed, our ageing community will be forced to turn to the state hospital system for ongoing care services if residential care beds are not available. It simply makes good economic sense to have elderly patients who require ongoing care services to be in an aged care environment. This would provide relief for the hospital system, reduce waiting times in emergency and ambulance ramping, and minimise waiting periods for elective surgery. Overall, this will free up beds in the wider community. Under the current funding and regulatory process, the aged care industry cannot continue to build the infrastructure to deliver care. There are so many important changes that need to be made to aged care, some of which will be at very little or no cost to the government, such as allow people who have worked hard for their financial security to pay for the standard of accommodation they can afford and desire. That would mean removing the cap on fees to create choice. Allowing family members to financially contribute to the care and well-being of their loved ones to ensure that they have greater choice of facilities and services. Allow residents to increase their bonds if they wish to transfer to another facility. And finally, allow the means-tested fees that residents pay in aged care to remain in the system in the form of increased care subsidies instead of it going back to the government purse. In addition to industry reform, these are just some of the many simple changes that would provide choice to families and residents. The majority of changes brought by the Aged Care Act in 97 and changes made since then have, for the most part, been positive for the industry. Two of the most positive steps going forward in arresting the problem of elderly in hospitals has been the introduction of transitional care services and the announcement of the zero real interest loan scheme. Transitional care is interim care for elderly patients where after a hospital stay they're transferred to an aged care setting for a period of up to 12 weeks to rehabilitate with the necessary therapies before either going home or into permanent aged care. This service is a joint commitment by both the federal and state governments and has proven to be effective. Although the transitional care can be provided in a community care or residential care setting, the issue of adequate funding to deliver services and provide the infrastructure is paramount to ensure the success of this joint venture continues to be achieved. Bottom line, this initiative works well if there are spare beds available. No spare beds available, it don't work. In summary, the federal government recognises there is a dramatic need for beds, hence the number available, but they are not currently being taken up by aged care providers in this state. The growth in the aged care industry is grinding to a halt, and the elderly will be forced to turn to the hospital system. The hospital system is under enormous pressure to provide ongoing aged care. I've provided the reasons for lack of aged care building construction in Western Australia. There is much reform needed and in the funding and regulatory process for aged care, but with the election promise to end the blame game through state and federal cooperation, aged care can indeed be a solution to the West Australian hospital crisis. Under the current political environment, there is no excuse. Thank you.